Welcome back. And we'll sit quietly together for about 15 minutes, and then I'll say some opening words. Okay. So, at this junction of the retreat, I'm going to spend some minutes introducing the theme of the themes of the retreat, the kind of the plan of how the talks are going to unfold. And then Ying is going to introduce the refuges, and you'll chant the refuges, kind of. And then Nikki will do the precepts, and there'll be a re-chanting of those. And the formal beginning of the retreat is with the refuges and precepts. It's actually a very important part of the retreat. It kind of creates the container that sets the stage, puts down the foundation for the retreat. That maybe it's easy sometimes to think is not so important, but in ways that we're conscious and unconscious, these refuges and precepts and everybody together in community sharing that this is kind of represents our commitment for this week is actually a very powerful foundation for the retreat, and hopefully helps create a nice environment inside of you for the retreat as well, and gives you a resource, something you can tap into and call on through the retreat. So it's classically, that's kind of the beginning of the retreat. And so then the theme. There's actually a few themes that are being tied together. And the first one I want to mention is insights. So the word for, where the Insight Meditation, Insight Retreat Center, Insight Meditation Center, Insight is kind of like almost like the brand of a particular kind of movement of Buddhist meditation groups here in this country. The word insight is our way of saying in English the word vipassana. And vipassana is the ancient Buddhist word that is made up of two parts. Passana, which means to see, and vi, the prefix, is a prefix of emphasis. So to really see, or to see in a good way. And so we like to say clear seeing. And so it's a practice of clearly seeing. So we call it insight. And there are three insights, three particular things, which are particularly emphasized for its liberative effect. The movement towards greater and greater freedom is supported by three particular insights that are biographical insights. It's not like now you understand, oh, now I understand. There was my second grade teacher, and she said this, and therefore I've been thinking this for all these years, and that explains everything. So that might be useful to see the biographical insights, and those come with the practice at times. But the liberative movement of practice comes from seeing something which is considered universal, that's true for everyone equally. And it's something that's foundational to our human life. So it's kind of like getting below the surface to really see the foundation, or that upon which everything rests in a certain kind of way, perhaps. And those insights, sometimes if you go to Southeast Asia, when I went there, the teachers there would repeat these over and over and over again. After a while, they'd be kind of checked out when they brought it up again, because it was so commonly done. And hopefully we don't do it that often, but hopefully the degree to which we talk about them emphasizes their importance. So there are insights, and there's three of them. The insight into the changing nature of our lives. And there's a variety of ways of seeing that, but everything is changing and moving and process. There's an inconstancy, that there's nothing stays really constant unless there's our abstract ideas about them. The ideas themselves kind of maybe don't change, but our abstract thinking does all the time. And then kind of flowing from that is the idea that somehow there's an unsatisfactoriness, or there's a stress or a suffering in this human life of ours that's related to attachments to things being unchanging, to attachment to things needing to be just the right way, certain way, so that kind of the clinging to constancy or to permanence. And then the third insight that somewhat comes from that one, the first two, is and the one that perplexes a lot of people, is the insight into not-self. How there's a way of seeing deeply into our experience of our life and seeing that there's an absence of some kind of something that Buddhists will call the self. And exactly what that means, you have to wait to see. But all of these, especially the last one, lend themselves to abstract thinking, or a lot of thinking and reflection, is this really true, and do I have to believe this? But they're not a belief system. They're not something to go looking for, like you have to go, but rather it's more closer to, we do our practice, keep doing our practice, and when the practice comes to a certain point, then these things get revealed. And we start seeing, oh, now I know what they're talking about. I see, and like I've never seen before, how changeable everything is, how things changing and inconstant. Oh, now I see that something about this unsatisfactory quality of things. It's not depressing. It's not like bad news. It's like, look at that. This is interesting. This the suffering or the stressful level of things in a certain kind of way. You don't have to be convinced that it's true. It's like, oh, there it is. I see it. And then this not-self thing, you don't have to be convinced philosophically that it's true. That has nothing to do with Buddhism, to have a philosophical conviction, understanding, structure to understand there's not-self. But rather, just patiently do your life, have all the self you want. And until you're settled enough and concentrated enough, and you say, oh, I'm looking around and there's no self here. Wow, that's pretty cool. Or, uh-oh, if there's no self, then, you know, then what? But it's a meditative state, and whatever self you need to have returns afterwards, no problem. So the idea is to, in the state, let it be. And these are insights. They're not meant to be like the seeing the true nature of reality. That's not the function of having these insights. Rather, the function of these insights is to help your mind or your heart release, open its fist, to let go of clinging. So you don't have to worry about whether these insights are really true in some kind of, in any kind of way. They're true in the experience in the moment, for sure. But the idea is they tune into them in a way that supports you to let go. You don't have to philosophically believe that floating in a gentle current in a river will carry you down river. You don't have to believe it philosophically. You don't have to understand the chemistry of it. You don't have to, you know, the physics of it. All you have to do is relax, and if you know how to float, let the river carry you. So these insights, they're kind of like these river that carries you. If you relax into them when they're there, then they'll carry you to liberation. So insights are not something we cultivate, not something we do or make happen. We just do our practice. Doing our practice classically is called cultivation. It's an English translation of the ancient word that's almost the same synonym with the word meditation in the ancient language. It's to cultivate. We're cultivating ourselves. And that's what we're actually doing in meditation, is we're cultivating ourselves in a particular way. It turns out that what we're cultivating is the opposite of the insights. Isn't that kind of cool? In a certain way. So what we're cultivating is stability and the associated states. And with that stability, then it's a lot easier to see how unstable things are, how changeable things are. But having a stability, it sounds like a paradox, but stability allows us to see change in a whole different way than we normally do. To cultivate a sense of well-being, and I use that word very broadly, like very vaguely. There's a whole family of things associated with having a sense of well-being in the way I use it. So don't think it's some specific state, but a general state of well-being, a sense of happiness, contentment, a sense of ease, a sense of joy, maybe. There's many different varieties of things in the family of well-being. But it turns out cultivating well-being sets the stage, the foundation, for this insight into all the insights. But in particular here, we're emphasizing for the insight into the insight into unsatisfactoriness, stress, suffering. So that's a wonderful juxtaposition that you get to have this. The more stable you are in a sense of well-being, your eyes will see how much suffering there is in a way it's very different than if you're already suffering and then you're told, look at all the suffering there is. It's just like it's enough to make you depressed. But to cultivate a sense of well-being, not necessarily easily done, but it's a kind of what's been cultivated over time. And then the third cultivation is a cultivation of confidence. We could almost say self-confidence, but a sense of confidence and personal strength. And that's confidence and strength becomes is kind of like the corollary to having a deep insight into not self. Now, isn't that cool? You get to be confident and strong. It's not like, we're saying, there's no self and therefore, just wilt away and you don't count and you're nothing. You actually count a lot. You actually are upright and strong and present in a certain kind of way that allows selfishness to drop away, but more significantly, this insight into not self. So there's the three insights that we're matching with the three things to cultivate. The cultivation always comes first. Don't rush to the insights. And so at the beginning of the retreat, the first three talks, the theme will be the three cultivations. And Monday will be stability, Tuesday will be well-being, and Wednesday will be confidence. The last three talks will be the three insights. And perhaps with how we've practiced the first 3 days, you might have a different perspective to appreciate these three insights than you would if you hadn't had the practice first. These insights are really practice dependent in the depth of them. And so then on Thursday, we'll do this impermanence. On Friday, we'll do this insight into suffering. And on a Saturday, are you right? So Thursday it'll be impermanence. Friday will be suffering. And Saturday will be not self. So that's okay. Now this, what I've described here, later, not now, please, but there's a handout on the website, the retreat website. There's a handout section on the menu, and on that handout, you can find this laid out. But there's one more thing in that handout. So those are the themes for the 6 days. Now, running through these are going to be heart qualities. And heart qualities are good always, any situation you find yourself in. So we're going to kind of weave these in, but they're going to follow this pattern. The most important caregiving emotion in the teachings of the Buddha is something called anukampa, which I translate as care. And then there is karuna, compassion, and then there is metta, loving kindness or goodwill. So those will run through the retreat, but in particular, they're also being connected to these other ones. So the anukampa, care, will be connected to his teachings on impermanence and stability. Stability, impermanence, and care. Compassion makes some sense. It's connected to suffering, and it will go together also with that, the talk on stability. And the last one, loving kindness, goes well with confidence and not self. Isn't that cool to have a lot of loving kindness together with not self? It turns out this not self thing is not so bad after all, if you do this practice and bring all these things together. So I know that's complicated, so you don't have to remember much of this. It'll all kind of unfold. If you just relax in the river and float along with the talks, you'll be carried along, I hope. And you don't have to remember the structure or everything. There's kind of a journey we're taking you on, and you can just enjoy the journey and don't have to kind of make sense of it, in the structure way. But if you'd like to see the structure, then that handout on your website, retreat, you'll see that the grid is there, the 3x3 grid. What we cultivate, the heart qualities, and the insights. And then because that is complicated, all that, I'd like to emphasize that the wonderful teacher that I met in India named Munindraji, a insight meditation teacher of some of the pioneering teachers here in the United States, like Joseph Goldstein and Sharon Salzberg, he had the saying, and he said, if it's not simple, it's not insight. If it's not simple, it's not vipassana. So, and then when I did something foolish in India, he said, Gil, it's important to be simple, but not a simpleton. So, anyway, simple. So you want to keep it simple. And don't try to, as you're meditating, reconstruct this grid and all this we're teaching here. But just stay simple. That's part of what we're cultivating with stability, well-being, and confidence. Just simplicity of being, that you just trust it. It's okay. And then just carry along and see if maybe to some degree you follow this course of there's this kind of sequence to all this, and from the cultivation, it leads to beginning to open your eyes to these insights. So that's the plan, and I hope that this is nice for you and interesting and more important. It doesn't have to be interesting, but more important is that it brings you, as you do this, as we go along, it helps you mature and develop and grow through all the ups and downs that happens, all the challenges that happens, all the joys and wonderful things that happen. And just as I said, that everything that goes on with these home retreats, we just keep folding into the retreat. The same thing is everything that happens inside of you. No matter how you are inside, the challenges you have, the joys you have, the boredom you have, or this, whatever it might be, there too, we just, oh, this is the part of the retreat, this is part of the retreat. Turns out nothing is outside of mindfulness. And what we're learning is how to keep opening our mindfulness to whatever is, rather than reacting to whatever is. So that's partly why we want to keep it simple. So thank you very much. And so then I'll turn it over to Nikki. And I guess it's Ying first. And Ying's going to do the refuges.
Thank you, Gil, for that introduction. So, maybe you feel a bit of inspiration already based on this map that Gil shared, the journey that we'll be taking us through this 7 days, this week or so. And for me, it's a sense of walking through the retreat doorway, and we're entering this retreat space. As we enter into this retreat space, we take refuges and precepts to allow ourselves to find a sense of safety, offer some protection in our heart and mind and our body. It's as if we're collectively kind of creating a virtual temple space where we feel comfortable, at ease, and at home. We know all of us probably are at home. Have that sense of being home. A refuge, this word has the meaning of safety, security, and some sense of a protection in it. Going to the refuge of the Buddha, the Dharma and Sangha. I'm quite fond of the Chinese translation of this gachami, oftentimes translated as go to the Buddha for refuge, go to the Dharma for refuge and Sangha for refuge. But the Chinese word gui often has a associated sense of going home. So we're going to, in taking refuge, it's not far out there. We're going home in something quite intimate. Maybe we have some sense of knowing how that feels like. Taking refuge in the Buddha, it's a form of uplifting our heart and mind by the Buddha's embodied qualities. Buddha is someone who uprooted a greed, hatred, delusion completely, who embodied profound wisdom and compassion. And also for us, quite importantly, that the Buddha not only ended dukkha for himself, but also taught the Dharma to so many down through the generations. So we will be getting streams of this on this retreat. And so also for me, as a sense that the Buddha being a historical human being, not to be forgotten, this is a potential for being human. For me, taking refuge in the Buddha is also honoring that potential in each of us to awaken, to destruct greed, hatred, delusion in our beings. And then taking refuge in the Buddha is inseparable from taking refuge in the Dharma, the second one. Refuge in the Dharma, in one way, Dharma means the teachings of the Buddha, the path that the Buddha taught for us to walk in. Taking refuge in the Dharma really means, for me, it was this sense of devoting ourselves to and committing ourselves to walking this path, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. There may be ups and downs in our lives as we go through this retreat journey, but we make a commitment to take refuge in the Dharma, following the path. And Dharma also has another meaning, and that means the way things are. And through walking and practicing Dharma, the way things are is what one comes to know. As Gil was mentioning, and as we practice, the insights may arise. And what helps with insight is that we begin to really see the way things are. And I would also say, as you scan around the squares, you will notice that walking this Dharma path, we don't have to do this alone. And we have all of us here entering a collective stream in practicing together. And this is the third refuge, taking refuge in Sangha. Our heart and mind streams are intermixed. And for me, taking refuge in the Sangha is a form of allowing myself be carried by the collective goodness, by all of us, and allow my goodness to be of support to each other as well. And so we will be doing this refuge together by chanting the refuge chant. And the refuge chant is also in the resource handout, if you like to look at that. But for now, let me see if I can share my screen and so that you can all look at the refuge chant together. So let's see if I can do this right. So are you able to see the chant on your screen? Okay, I see some thumbs up. And so we'll be doing this together. We won't be able to do a call and response in our Zoom format. So we will start with homage to the Buddha three times. And we will do this in Pali. Many of you would know this already. For those who are new to this, you know, feel free to listen first. Each of this will be done in three times. Maybe the first time you can listen, and second time maybe you could join in. Maybe the third time you will know how to do this. If not, feel free to just relax and let the voice carry through in your being. And so if you're ready, we will begin. So I will start and feel free to join me. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Dhamma Saranam Gacchami. Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Dudiyambi Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Dudiyambi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Dudiyambi Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Tadiyambi Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Tadiyambi Dhamma Saranam Gacchami. Tadiyambi Sangham Saranam Gacchami. So I'll pass along to Nikki.
Thank you, Ying. So, as a ritual, as the ritual part of entering the sacred retreat space, and I don't use that word lightly, the word sacred, the sacred retreat space, which is what we have chosen to devote a week of our lives to, whether you're sitting full time or auditing again. It's part of entering into this sacred retreat space. The ritual of taking the precepts as the second part, offering safety to ourselves and to others, to the community. So the first part, refuges, as we already took them, and now the precepts. So the precepts. And I'd like to invite you, if you have been practicing for a while, you've probably heard the precepts many times. If you've sat many retreats, it's like, oh yeah, precepts. Oh yeah, yeah, I know the precepts. So I'd like to invite you to listen with beginner's mind, because the experienced mind, the know-it-all mind, doesn't have any space for discovering anything new. So see if you can listen it with a beginner's mind. See if there's something about it here on this retreat, this expression of the five precepts, that there might be some dimension of it that might nourish you even more, slightly differently on this retreat. So the precepts, it's basically the five precepts or five different ways of offering non-harming. Five different ways of saying, I will not harm, I intend not to harm, I intend not to harm. Just five times saying the same thing in different ways, different aspects of it. Not to harm myself, not to harm others. Harming ourselves harming others harms ourselves. So five different ways of saying the same thing, offering non-harming, offering safety. And you know, as we have the themes and the three-dimensional, 3x3 matrix, the grid for the themes, you know, if you just spend the 7 days taking refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha and offering safety to yourself and others in your heart, in your mind, the five precepts, it would be a pretty powerful retreat. Just that. It would be an incredibly powerful retreat. So please don't consider these only as ritual aspects, but really as support. How can this support me? How can the precepts support me on this retreat? So the five aspects, the five precepts, the first one having to do with not taking life and on the gross level, of course, you know, not killing beings, basically. So vowing, taking a vow not to kill for the duration of this retreat, which can become particularly interesting if there are, say, spiders, etc., in your environment. Can you continue to respect that? Can you continue to respect life? Life as sacred, any form of life, even if it's creepy crawly, even if you don't like it, the life of that being is really dear and sweet to that being. So how can we relate to this? See what it feels like to really take up not killing in all its forms and shapes. The second one, not taking what has not been offered, what has not been given, refraining from that. And this is a higher bar than stealing. You know, we can say, oh yes, the second one has to do with stealing, but it's deeper. It's a higher bar. The higher bar is, if something has not been offered freely, it could also be not just things, but also could be someone's time, could be a piece of information that's not freely offered, that, oh, we're going to take. So if it's not freely offered for us, not freely given, refraining from taking it. So sets the bar higher. It really is a sense of integrity that comes in with this. And the third precept has to do with sexual energy, the use of our sexual energy, which, again, in lay life, it can be at times a beautiful expression of connection. And yet on retreat, we refrain from any sexual activity, from any sexual expressing the sexual energy. It's just not needed. During these 7 days, not needed. And again, it's not that there's anything wrong with it for lay folks. Again, used in a wise, compassionate way. And yet on retreat, what happens if we just step back, refrain from that, pull our energies back? Takes so much thinking, takes so much energy sometimes in daily life. Just refrain, pull back from sexual activity or using our sexual energies in an unwise way. The fourth precept having to do with wise speech. So refraining from harmful speech. All of these precepts are put in the way of refraining from what causes harm, refraining from what's causes trouble in the world. So with this one, with unwise speech, refraining from unwise speech, I'd like to invite you, both as you practice this week, there might be phone calls you need to make, you'll be in family situations you may need to speak with folks, but also, what if you took this precept, this fourth one, as harmful speech towards yourself, the way you speak to yourself? Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're a failure. Oh, you can't do this right. You like, ouch, ouch, harmful speech. Oof, ouch. So see if you can work with that also as an internal dimension of offering safety to yourself, refraining from harmful speech. And the last one, taking intoxicants, refraining from intoxicants. As you have gathered by now, part of this Buddhist path, clarity of mind is so important. It's so, obviously it's important. It's so, I mean, you know, where when your mind is clear and stable, like, wow, how delicious, how nourishing that is. And intoxicants completely mess that up. So avoiding taking intoxicants this entire week. And actually, but of course, that doesn't mean, you know, please take your medications, basically intoxicants that cloud the mind. And as an expansion of this, also I'd like to invite you to consider our digital devices as ways that we intoxicate ourselves, as devices that are addictive. We just, our minds get engrossed with images and this person or that person. So let's think of intoxicants as various social media that are not exactly, they don't exactly support the stability of the mind, the clarity of the mind. They cloud the mind. And it's like an intoxicant that clouds the mind, Facebook sometimes. So with that, I'd like to invite us to take the precepts together. And the way to do this, let's see, actually, the way I'd like to do this is call and response. And yet, given that it becomes cacophony with if all of us unmuted, what I'd like to ask if one person would I'll call and you respond, so that one person will unmute, but everybody will be, of course, you're muted, you'll be saying it out loud. Okay, so is there a yogi who would like to volunteer raising your hand? Otherwise, I'm going to ask Ying. Give it a pause. Ying, would you be so kind as to unmute yourself and do the response?
Yes.
Great.
The response. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So you'll be the stand-in for the Sangha. And here we go. Okay. Great. So for the sake of our training together.
For the sake of our training together.
I undertake the practice.
I undertake the practice.
To refrain from.
To refrain from.
Taking life.
Taking life.
And please, everybody, please, you're repeating also, even though we only hear Ying repeat. For the sake of our training together.
For the sake of our training together.
I undertake the practice.
I undertake the practice.
To refrain from.
To refrain from.
Taking that which is not given.
Taking that which is not given.
For the sake of our training together.
For the sake of our training to get together.
I undertake the practice.
I undertake the practice.
To refrain from.
To refrain from.
Sexual activity.
Sexual activity.
For the sake of our training together.
For the sake of our training together.
I undertake the practice.
I undertake the practice.
To refrain from.
To refrain from.
Harmful speech.
Harmful speech.
For the sake of our training together.
For the sake of our training together.
I undertake the practice.
I undertake the practice.
To refrain from.
To refrain from.
Taking intoxicants.
Taking intoxicants.
Thank you. Thank you all. And now, having taken the refuges and the precepts, we have formally entered the retreat space. Let's just sit in silence together for 1 minute. Thank you all. May you all rest well tonight in this retreat space, enjoying the temple of your heart that is your home. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. Thank you.